Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Floor on Monday the 18th of July, recording at 9:35 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, Asia was mostly quietly steady, although China was closed. The Hang Seng Index was down a little bit. Australia barely changed. However, we had some hefty selling in the European sector. And biggest decline that I see on my screen for the European sector is the Spanish MIB index, down just over 3%. But gains of 1.5 to 2% were commonplace. Declines, rather, of 1.5 to 2% were commonplace. Same with Mexico and Brazil, down over just over 1% each. The U.S. had a similar decline, but then cut it back towards the close. But the S&P was still down 1070 at 0.81%, slightly more for the NASDAQ composite. In government bonds, prices in Europe were firmer. The JGBs were a little firmer. The U.S. 30-year Treasuries weaker. The U.S. dollar was a little firmer. And $255 in the U.S. dollar index. It had been up higher. Precious metals, strong, right across the boards. If I run down the screen, palladium up 16 to 1796. Platinum up over 22 to 1778. Gold $12.20 to 1605.75. Another new high, of course. And silver up $1.50 to $40.57. So these are really chunky gains. Industrial metals were firmer with the exception of nickel, though I see U.S. copper has closed down a fraction. But it's at 440, nearly 441. And crude oil a little lower, 116 for Brent, 96 for WTI. Grains and beans, now they had been powering higher on weather forecasts, drought forecasts, really, heat and drought. The weather looks a little less desperate, and so prices came off a little bit, but are closed well off their lows. Soybeans are almost unchanged, for instance. Corn was only down 8 cents. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, it's all about Europe right now, and, well, no, not entirely. I'd say it's 80% about Europe, maybe 90%, and 10 or 20% about the U.S. debt limits. Believe you me, the European crisis is a debt ceiling, I should say. But believe you me, the European debt crisis is infinitely more serious than the little ugly, tedious political battle going on between the Republicans and Democrats over an agreement on the debt ceiling, which I think they will almost certainly reach one way or another, and sometimes these things go down to the final hour. They like the theater as well. So, but the European debt situation is deteriorating very rapidly. I mean, those 10-year government bond yields for Greek bonds, Spanish bonds, Irish bonds, Italian bonds, they really backed up. Portuguese bonds, they backed up very strongly here today. pressing up towards the highs, or even new highs in some instances. So going back to the highs we saw on Monday when we had panicky action in the stock markets. And as you'd expect against that background, the bank shares in Europe, and that certainly includes the UK, were much weaker in here today. And also insurance companies, they've been coming down as well, tagged really hard because they are likely to hold quite a few of the bonds overall. Now, I have, thanks to a subscriber, I had drawn to my attention an excellent interview, discussion, perhaps on the USA Squawk Box CNBC program. This really is good. This is with Sean Egan of Egan Jones Rating Company, which is less compromised than Moody's or the S&P, I'll say. But you'll want to hear what he has to say, and I'm really kicking off the service with that that item. And I think it's as good, as analytical and unemotional an explanation of what's actually going on in this European, with this European situation, as we're likely to get. What will be the ultimate denouement on this? I think that I cannot see how it can be anything that does not involve one heck of a lot of money printing. We all know the implications of that. So I think as far as this European situation is, that the speed with which it appears to be coming to a crisis point is in trend terms, it's an acceleration. And you see that in the 10-year bond yields for the European countries. We've seen that for a while. And it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better, because we have yet to see the evidence that the European governments have either the knowledge, they probably have that, or gaining it relatively quickly, but either the knowledge or perhaps more importantly the political will to actually deal with this, to actually contain this crisis. Any crisis can be contained, as we know. It's not the end of the world, but it's a nasty one, and it will have contagion, and that will spread beyond, as we are seeing, beyond the banks and beyond the insurance companies that hold the bonds, which have been trading at levels that are really not justified by debt levels when the market finally appraises it correctly, as we're seeing. And when you hear that U.S. debt is of the same percentage proportions as Portuguese debt, one is hard-pressed to have much confidence in U.S. treasuries. But we know that the Fed has been buying those and is continuing to reinvest money in those. And we know that a number of other governments hold those. The day will come here somewhere down the road, maybe several years down the road, but when yields move a lot higher, not so high as Greek or Portuguese bonds, I trust, but you know, they certainly move to the levels that we're seeing today for Spanish and Italian bonds, and they're going higher, and I think U.S. bonds will as well, ultimately, but you know, they don't all go at once in here. And today this is Europe's crisis rather than the USA's crisis. Now, it's very hard to quantify contagion. I've said that the contagion from this will spread further, and I've said it's extremely hard to quantify that because what we're really talking about is how, to what extent And in what directions will a crowd of investors panic spread? And I don't know the answer to that, but what we do know is that market panics, if they occur, and it might not. People may be kind of blasé about this, particularly if the Europeans get their acts together sooner rather than later. But what we do know is that panics, when we do get them, big or small, and this is shaping up as at least a small panic, they create buying opportunities, and this will be no different. And where we need the perspective, and I think the calm head, is if I say to myself, David, what's this European sovereign debt crisis got to do with fuller money themes over the medium to longer term? And my answer to that is very little. And as a matter of fact, it may make them even more attractive in the eyes of investors. We'll see. Now, what about the precious metals? And I hope you're represented there. We've commented on them a lot. Fuller Money has commented on them a lot recently. I know it's a sector that most subscribers, and certainly the veteran subscribers, have been very keen on for a very long time. There is a contagion risk, but at the moment, these are prime beneficiaries of the crisis, because people don't want the euro, they don't want sterling, they don't want U.S. dollars. And I suspect there are some Chinese and Indian investors that I think there are quite a few of them who clearly want precious metals as well. And gold and silver are the currencies of choice in here right now in terms of stores of value. I'll put it this way: they're the monetary metals of choice. So we've got good-looking chart patterns. If I scrutinize gold with a cold, beady eye, I could say, well, it's just beginning to get a little overextended relative to its MA once again. But having seen quite an extensive from April, I think it was in April, I'd have to look at the daily chart, but it was an April high, and some ranging mean reversion there, predictable mean reversion, from what was a more overextended position relative to the MA. I wouldn't be surprised if in this move, all the precious metals at some stage move well above their MAs before they get the next really significant reaction to the mean. Now, I said a moment ago that contagion for the precious metals can come in two forms. Now, if we were to see a serious meltdown on Wall Street, and I'm not forecasting that, but I'm hypothesizing here, and we have to look at worst case scenarios as well as what we think is actually going to happen. We're still very much in this corrective phase, and we ain't getting out of it, I don't think, any time soon, and we need to watch those ASEAN stock markets to see if they capitulate. They certainly haven't yet. Some of them are still hitting, and the Philippines still hitting a new high in here today. If Wall Street really catches a cold, then we would see the contagion spread to precious metals. Now, the consolation, such as it is that they would fall, precious metals, gold would fall less than the Dow. But it would fall, and you know that, because you saw what happened in a genuine panic in 2008, and gold fell a long way, although less than just about everything else. I think not just about, I think it did fall less than certainly less than any stock markets or other commodities. So, but that's the outside minority chance. Now, the other contagion is the good news contagion, because if we view gold, and gold is, by people who don't like gold, they say, well, they don't like gold because it's, they always say it's the Armageddon story. So that's the fear side of gold, and fear is a factor in terms of the interest of gold. But on the other side of the coin, you've got love. Because a lot of people love holding gold. They feel much more comfortable, much more secure. Both women and a number of men like wearing it. And whether it's on their watches or around the neck or whatever, people like having it. They like the color. They like everything about gold. So that's the other side of the coin. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what's actually driving this trend to the upside right now? Well, I think it's more fear than the, I think it's more the fear of everything else. So the fear, it's particularly the fear of paper currencies, that as a driving factor behind the gold advance in the short term. I would say that's a stronger force than the love of gold by people who just like buying the bling. Now, therefore, if we get a resolution, some sort of beyond just a 1 week's papering over resolution, or when we get it, because we will get it, when we eventually get a resolution to the European sovereign debt crisis, however painful that may be in the process, but once that's past its nadir, which it clearly has not as I speak, but once it has passed its nadir, then that fear factor behind gold will subside and the price can then fall back somewhat. So these are just the things that you know as well as I do and that we have to take into account. I'm just reminding you of them. Meanwhile, the technical action looks good. I bought a little bit of platinum in here today. My main precious metal position is in silver. I'm not yet in the gold. I'd like to be. I was earlier in the month, and then I came out of it, or I stopped out of it. I can't remember. And I didn't want to buy it on a consecutive day run. Well, it's up 11 days on the trot, and I'm still reluctant to do that. But you know, I have silver, and that's a reasonable position now. And I have some palladium, and I bought some platinum in here today. And one of the reasons why I bought the platinum is that I saw an item in a mining report, which I'm posting. It's over a week old. But it had mentioned the NUM, the mining union, South African Mining Union, which is making huge wage demands, over 14% of the gold mining companies. And as I continue to read, I mean, if they're going to do that with the gold companies, they'll do it with the platinum miners, and indeed they are. Now, what that settlement, or how long this will go on for before there is a settlement, is anybody's guess, and people in South Africa will have far more insights on that than I possibly could. What it did occur to me is that whereas South Africa's gold production is dropping steadily and is now well behind that of China, while it can be an impact, it can have an impact, it wouldn't have anywhere near as much impact as it would for platinum, where my guess is that South Africa probably produces around 70% or possibly more of the world's newly mined platinum. So a strike there could really drive the price higher. And if there isn't a lengthy strike, but there's a very costly wage settlement at a time when energy costs are also rising, all the costs are rising for these mines, and they have to go deeper and deeper and deeper to get the metal out. So they will need, even if there isn't a lengthy strike, my point is that they will need a higher price, really, to justify bringing that much platinum to the surface. So that caused me to move in and buy a little bit of platinum this afternoon. And in with my silver positions, I'm using now. I've got in the money stops for my most recent positions and a reasonably loose trailing stop. The risk in this with the futures is always the volatility, but that's the way I have tended to play these. That's the main way I've played them over the last decade, and will continue to do so. But that's not for everybody. Most of you probably prefer ETFs to the futures. What else to mention here? The grain and bean thing. I think the risks are still to the upside. Crude oil, a little bit of respite here. It's not running up, but Brent is still too high, in my opinion, for the global economy at this stage. So, you know, we've still got plenty of problems in here, more than enough to keep markets locked in this corrective phase for a while longer. And again, you and I can only deal with the reality that markets provide, and I think we are moving a little bit ahead of schedule into a very attractive environment for precious metals. And on that note, all the best.